speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold upon life eternal. Many people don't know that we're in a fight, a battle, but we are. And we're therefore, as members of the Lord's church, called soldiers of Christ. Now, the people of God, of course, have many various descriptions in the New Testament, and such metaphors would help us more easily to understand, I suppose, our relationship unto God and to each other as Christians, and also our relationship to the world. You know, our closeness to each other, for example, is seen in the church being termed the household of faith or the family of God. Our privilege of worshiping our Creator is seen in its being called the temple of God. A temple is a place where God dwells, and where the living God dwells is in the hearts of men, and therefore the church is the temple of God. Our relationship to Christ as our sovereign is seen in its description as the kingdom of God. He's the king upon his throne. We are his subjects as we worship and serve him in harmony with his authority here on earth. Now, our responsibility to fight the forces of evil, defend the truth, and contend earnestly for the faith are seen in being described as an army, and we are soldiers. In Philippians 1, verse 17, verse 16 and 17, Paul said some preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I wish all men were set for the defense of the gospel, the pure, unadulterated gospel of Christ, that which Paul called the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. Jude 3 says we're to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Now, to contend means to wrestle it. Wrestle it out of the hand of the devil, out of the hand of hell. And you know, when Paul spoke of our warfare, calling upon numerous military figures and expressions, he spoke of that which he was very familiar with. He could see those soldiers, and throughout his travels, he had observed countless garrisons of Roman soldiers and thousands of troops marching on the Roman roads. Constantly, they were in a quelling of wars and rumors of wars, transporting prisoners and pursuing thieves and those who would cause mankind to be under difficulty. Now, a number of times, he was personally and falsely arrested, you know. He was beaten with rods, bound with chains to armed soldiers at times. Much more than once, he was rescued from being killed by the Roman soldiers. So the armor and the duty of the soldiers were well known also to those that Paul addressed in these letters. Roman soldiers, of course, were stationed in such places as Corinth, and he had seen them there, then at Philippi, and Troas, and Antioch, and many other places. So they knew the sounds of the rattling and the shining of armor, and the marching cadence, and the bugle call. Can't you just see those things yourself, as Paul saw them in his day? They knew very well what it meant to have loved ones march off to war, and what it meant for them to often not return. And you know, we know war today, don't we? In our great nation that has been attacked, we now know war. And we're in a war. And that means that our soldiers must fight. They must go forth into battle, knowing that they might lose their life as the price for victory and as the price for freedom. And our freedom is dearly bought, isn't it? So also is our freedom dearly bought in Christ, by the blood of Christ. But so great is our struggle in this world that God pictured it as a battle, yes, even as a war. And it is a battle against God's and man's archenemy, who is Satan. It is the battle between everything that is good and everything that is evil, between God and Satan, between spiritual light and spiritual darkness. You know, New Testament Christianity is aggressive. It's militant. It's positive. Because God's army is invaded the very stronghold of Satan's kingdom. We're soldiers of the Most High, equipped with the most powerful weapon ever existing in this world. That is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, and talking about the armor that the soldier is to wear, he said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he gave us orders to rush and to attack and to cast down every stronghold of Satan, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Does that sound like war, my friend? You know, the weak of heart need not apply for this army. Does anyone think for one moment that the devil will not put up a vicious, unrelenting resistance? Well, my friends, if you think that way, you're wrong. Some just do not like to fight. They're embarrassed when the truth is aggressively taught and defended. And when God's army is marching to victory, when Paul is quoted as commanding fight the good fight of faith, 2 Timothy 6:12, then the ironic spirit, as they call it, loses its composure when they are reminded of Paul's having fought the good fight, as he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Now, Paul fought the good fight, and he set us for us to imitate him, even as he imitated Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Do not misunderstand, my friends. It's never right to abuse people or to be mean, and that's not what we're talking about in this, nor does the Lord intend it that way. However, no battle can be successfully fought without fighting and contention, can it? So living the Christian life is a serious thing. It's a struggle. And Paul's charge to Timothy was, in 2 Timothy 2:3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's a good fight. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. And not unto me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. You see, it is righteous, and it's just, and it's right to fight in this war, for it is a war to free human beings from the dominion of slavery and eternal ruin of Satan. The soul of each of us is invaluable. Jesus said, for instance, in Matthew 10:28, fear not them that are able to kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And in Matthew 16:25-26, he said, let a man follow me, take up his cross. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, life is of intense importance, isn't it? Every day that we live, every moment that we live, should be spent in the service of our King. Now, war is a life and death struggle, friend. I don't want you to be misunderstanding about this. It is a life and death struggle. Count the cost of losing your soul, dear friend, and the souls of your precious mate, or of your children, or of your friends. Can you count that? It's either conquer evil and Satan, or be conquered, and be destroyed forever by them. It's eternal life, or it's eternal death. We must know that the fight is on, as long as we dwell here below. And we must not fail fully to understand the serious, severe nature of that contest. You know, the battlefield is the world, and the time for war is now. Jesus said in John 9:4, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, every person in the world is called to be a Christian. Therefore, every person in the world is called to be a soldier in this great army. And no one can stay neutral. You know, no one can say, well, I'm not on either side. I'm just for good people. If good people are in the Lord's church, I'm for them. If good people are out of the Lord's church, I'm for them. But wait a minute. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not for me scattereth abroad. Well, then the inactive, passive soul is really warring against Christ, isn't it? No one is sitting on the sidelines. All are in the battle, either on Satan's side or on the Lord's side. And no one is exempt from the danger, from the forces, from the temptations of evil. Each is accountable, being in the experience of struggle on a personal level. And Matthew 6:24 said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he'll cling to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, great blessings await the faithful soldier at the end of the conflict. There is no doubt about that. But let us first examine the nature of the warfare itself, and then we'll examine the rewards of victory. Reward doesn't come first. The battle comes first. And the battle is a moral confrontation. It's not a flesh and blood war, as America is in today. But the field of conflict is not strewn either with the physically wounded or the dying or with bodies of the dead. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, we do not war according to the flesh, but against every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Christ. He said again, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. But let it not be missed at all, the enemy is Satan. He and his army are the enemies of Christ the King and his army. And just as all kings and kingdoms of the world have enemies, so has the eternal kingdom of Christ. Luke 11 verses 14 through 23 point that out without a doubt. But you know, Christ took on flesh and blood in order to bring to naught or to nothing him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, says Hebrews 2:14. The one who bruised his heel, Genesis 3:15, but he would crush his head. And the one who taketh away the word from their hearts, that is, those who have heard the word of Christ, he removes that word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved, Luke 8 and verse 12. Indeed, my friends, he is our adversary. And therefore Peter warns in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith.